You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. What a glorious night. What a beautiful Wisconsin fall, still summer day it's been. Hope you had a great day, whatever your day brought you today, and whatever led you here, I am grateful to have you, and we hope you join us tonight in our discussion about all things. Well, tonight, we've got theater, we've got a documentary film about the Brewers, and a film festival. We're gonna cram three amazing guests into a two-hour show somehow. And we have a great question tonight, and we hope you guys all get involved because that makes this job that much more fun when people get involved. So Frank Hermans will be here at 6:20 tonight. Frank has a new show opening, and the title of it is great. It's based on a 1970s commercial, so I'm not going to give it away. I'll let Frank tell you. But he will be here at 6:20 to talk about his new show. And then at 7:05, Sean Hannish will be here. Sean is the director of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. Sean's been on the show. I think, Sean, if he makes one more appearance, he's officially a sidekick.
Yeah, a Nightlight bestie. A Nightlight bestie. Sidekick.
Yeah. Either way, Sean's a great guy, and he made a really cool documentary. And there's big news about it. So we thought we got to have Sean on so he can tell you himself what is happening with Just a Bit Outside, because it affects all Wisconsinites. And then, back to Green Bay, we welcome Nick Wattier from the Green Bay Film Festival. He will be here at 7:20 to talk about a big event this Saturday that involves yours truly. I'm very excited to host an event there at the Tarleton Theater this Saturday night, and a Q&A following one of the films. We'll talk about all of that and everything coming up at future Green Bay Film Festival events. They do such a great job, and Nick is a fun guest to talk to, and he will keep us up to date with what is happening over at the Tarleton in the coming days and weeks. Working the board tonight, Conrad Krieger. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, though?
I'm well.
Yeah. After that game last night, I didn't want to bring it up, but it's just...
Listen, if you want to be more involved in the show, you are going to follow my lead. You bring my Bears up, you're teetering, buddy.
I'm sorry for the loss.
It's okay. I've got gelato.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The Bears don't just lose. What they do is they set records and milestones for the other team when they lose. Last night, all I heard was, never before, actually it was like, not since Fran Tarkington as a quarterback thrown three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, ran for two and ran for one and threw for two. Cam Newton was the last one to do that. It's like, okay, I'm glad the Bears are making history for the other team. Yeah, it was a brutal one. So we'll see. We played Detroit this weekend, and we'll see if they, I don't know, Detroit, I don't know if it's, again, I don't know if it was the Packers defense that looked amazing or if Detroit is missing a lot of parts.
Yeah, I mean.
So who knows?
Without those coordinators, it looked a little rough.
Could be a bit of an adjustment period.
Yeah. But,
yeah, it's early. It's game one. I will, it's only in my, as a Bear fan, this is what I have to look forward to, is it's only 16 weeks until I get to start talking about the offseason and the draft and free agency and the combine and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, it should be interesting. We have a great question tonight that I think we should get to because our pal Frank Anderson will be here in just a few minutes. So let's get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, how do you feel about people who use flags? Political, sports, music, whatever, to accessorize their sweet rides. I have to be honest. I just think it's a little obnoxious. Look at me. I'm against it. I don't care, but I would never put something like that on my car. I don't even put bumper stickers on my car because I feel like, you know, how do you find a bumper sticker that perfectly brands you? And I wouldn't put something on there that didn't. And so the conversation is over because how are you going to find a bumper sticker that perfectly describes what you want people, what you want to convey to other drivers? And I feel the same way about flags, especially when people have a flag on each side.
Yeah.
And they're flapping and it's just like, oh, wow. I think it's kind of like a cry for help. It's too much.
What do you think about that bumper sticker I sent you today?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
You know, honestly, it was a pretty good one. It was great.
Okay, so the bumper sticker, it was on a Grand Caravan.
Yep.
And it says, I'm giving her all she's got. I'm giving her all she's got, Captain. Basically saying what, you have kind of a lame ride or what?
Or say,
it just doesn't go that fast.
Just doesn't go that fast, yeah. I think I might get that one for mine.
That's how you're going to define yourself. Boy, that's gutsy.
I'll just put it on my butt.
Just put it on your pants. So when you walk around, people see it. My favorite is, I saw this one in Marinette. There's a pickup truck driving around, and it's really like maxed out. Got the big wheels. It's like 20 feet off the ground, the crazy lights. And then there's a bumper sticker in the window that just says, yes, it's small. That's gutsy. That's a guy with a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a girl. I don't know who's driving this thing. But anyway, it made me laugh. So anyway, I would never do the flags. Political, certainly. That's just like, you put political flags in your car. It's like, hey, we just won the Civil War or something. Sort of like, okay. Yeah. And sports teams too. It's like, I kind of feel the same way about it. I feel like the guy who's wearing his team's attire head to toe.
Yeah, you know, if money was no object, I think my Dodge Dart, would be green with some yellow stripes, some huge flags on the back, and just Packer bumper stickers all over it.
I just want to see you on a first date pulling up. the girl probably would feel the same way, so you're probably golden.
Yeah.
So that's our question, folks. How do you feel about when people put flags on their cars? Political, sports, music, whatever. I'm not really a fan. Conrad doesn't sound like he's that big of a fan. But let us know what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. It's like the sweet ride of apps. Very easy to use. Or drop us a stream comment. If you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X, let us know. And give us a like or a follow.
Yes.
While you're there. It's always nice to get likes and be followed. Stalk us, if you would, on the radio.
Yes.
So anyway, I had an audition today for a priest, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
I would love to play a priest.
Can you just recite the lines right now for us?
Yeah, you know what? I might still have the window open. It was something like, I can't. Actually, I had to quote Matthew, I think. And it was like kind of someone committed a murder. And two of the people are in the church. And my words are resonating with them. And they're shooting each other looks. So, and it's it's a good big studio film, which would be fun.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you. And they don't need me. They need me for like, it's like a couple vacation days. I can do that.
Okay,
You can write the beats and...
Yeah.
You know what you should do? One night when I'm not here, just don't tell anyone and pretend you're me. I'd love to see if you can get the voice down.
Good night, Wisconsin.
Wait a minute. That sounded like Conrad. So I went home last night and I was going to watch the second second episode of The Paper. I did not get to it. So I am going to try to do that though. And I'm doing this based on your recommendation alone, Con. So pressure's on.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah.
So we've got some news. Conrad will not be here Thursday. He's taking the night off to watch the Packer or go to the Packer game.
Yeah,
right?
Go to the game. Yeah.
Where are your seats? You got good seats?
Well, if anyone knows where the gold packages are in the seats, you know, I'm up there.
In the, like in the nosebleeds? Like
no,
in the
not in the nosebleeds. They're anywhere in Lambeau is a great seat, first of all.
True. You just want to be there. Honestly, it's like, I always like getting good seats, but I don't know. Never stop me from going if I'm in the nosebleeds. So on the stream, Dave says, I'm more of a huge set of bumper balls.
Okay.
Didn't he just... We must have had a similar question a couple weeks ago because I feel like Dave texted that in.
Well, he said it the other way.
Truck balls. God, how would you ever... Who would ever do that?
I've seen him more than I would want to. Yeah. You know?
Right. And when you have, when you put testicles on your truck, the first thing I think of is that that guy has no balls. Honestly, that's just like, this is an extension of what you don't have. That's kind of what comes to mind. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe just like the way they look. I have no idea. Some of our social media responses to tonight's questions. Conrad started us off on social media and says, love me a sweet bumper sticker, but a flag is a little too far. Could be hazardous. Oh, I didn't think of that.
It could fly off and go right into your windshield.
Put an eye out.
Yeah.
John on social media says, guessing it is a compensation tactic for some other deficiency, i.e., again, truck nuts. Sorry, Dave. Small-minded people are often the loudest people. Well, no argument there, John. And, oh, my pal Tim Baker chiming in on social media says, I've had enough of the flags. So, all right. So let us know what you think, though, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We have a clip I've been meaning to get to, and I love this. This is kind of involves a Wisconsin guy, Chris Farley. And it was one of his sketches from Saturday Night Live written by Bob Odenkirk. And these are Bob Odenkirk. You have that ready, Con? You ready? Okay. These are Bob Odenkirk's thoughts about the sketch that he wrote for his pal Chris Farley.
Living in a van down by the river when I was growing up, I would say is the North Star of sketch comedy. It is a perfect comedy sketch.
Comedy sketch writers especially want the writing to matter. They want the writing to be the star. Yeah. But the truth is, in sketch comedy, the performance is the star.
Yeah.
It is 70% performance, 30% writing, maybe more performance, maybe 80%. It just is.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a, you could say, maybe a 50-50 sketch. I could do that sketch as the motivational sketch.
Sure.
And it'd be pretty funny. And
yeah, you'd
my,
be great.
My natural rage would be on display and fun.
Yeah.
But no one could beat Chris.
Well said.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's a great... I love the story behind that, too, because Odenkirk wrote that sketch, sent it in because he had friends on Saturday Night Live, and they got his stuff seen. And I think back then it was more common. You could submit something, and you know, there was always a chance they would do it on the show. He was a waiter at Ed DeBevick's in downtown Chicago, an old burger joint with like a theme. You know, just that was his day job while he was at Second City. And he looks up while he's waiting on a table and sees Chris Farley doing the motivational speaker van down by the river. I mean, what a cool...
It's such a good sketch. It's so funny.
And it was, I mean, talk about a guy who knows how to write for his friend. That was the like he said, that was, anybody could have done it. Maybe it would have been funny, but Chris Farley really put an exclamation mark on that. And there's a new, this is exciting too, folks. If you're a Neil Diamond fan, there's finally a release date for the new Neil Diamond movie. And, it's coming out Christmas Day. Got to find that. What were they calling that again? You remember what I said? Christmas tunes. Song Sung Blue. Yeah, it was named after a Neil Diamond song. Song Sung Blue, based on a Milwaukee couple that started doing a tribute band to Neil Diamond. They were called Thunder and Lightning. We're going to get into this more as that date approaches because that looks like a really fun movie with some great songs. Speaking of great songs, coming up next after the news, our pal Frank Hermans, the legendary Frank Hermans, joins us in studio to talk about his new show that is coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. Our question of the night is, how do you feel about flags on cars, be they political, sports-affiliated, music? I think they're kind of goofy, but
you know what? One word comes to mind when you say that?
What?
Tool. Yeah.
Tool.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. When I, you know, when I see somebody with a big truck and they got a big rebel flag in the back, all I think of is tool.
Yeah. You're in the north.
I'm in the north.
You're in the,
I'm in the north.
The north.
The war is over. I see them though around here too.
It is. Yeah. You know what's weird, Frank? And I'm not like, I know you're a fan of all music, as am I, but everywhere I go, when I eat, country music is on.
Yeah.
And some country I really like.
Yeah.
One of our favorite guests is Kaylin Cole, and she's a country artist. She's phenomenal. But I don't know. What do you like to listen to when you eat?
When I eat, jazz.
Yes.
Right? I'm a easy listening music kind of, it calms you down. I even like Muzak. Remember Muzak?
Yeah.
It'd be like all the hit songs, but they'd be singing them like this elevator music. You know, because I don't want to concentrate on the music. You know,
sports
bar. I get a sports bar where they got the, you know, some
taking care of business or something. Yeah, a little Skinnered.
Yeah.
But I'm the same way. I'd rather have Muzak than some places I go to in Marinette. They have the news cranked for the whole. Yeah, the news. And then a commercial comes on and it's really obnoxious. Okay. It's like, really?
Yeah.
I want to throw this food at the wall right now for your lack of awareness. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking. I know that's a handsome sounding voice. And Frank Hermans, Green Bay legend. Frank Hermans is here with us at Nightlight, as he so often joins us from right down the street.
It's great to have you, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, thanks
for having
me.
Look at you rocking the cutoff.
You know, I'm liking the guns here in the picture. I never get to see. Wow. Hey, it's working. Whatever
I'm
doing.
Are you on roids?
No.
That's natural?
That is I started working out with heavy weights about 15 years ago. I have a trainer, personal trainer.
Okay.
I had my knees replaced and my hips replaced and my shoulders replaced over the years. I was kind of a basketball freak, okay? I injured myself.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, and I got some arthritis, and I decided to get myself in shape, and I pay somebody to beat me up 3 to 5 times a week. So it's paid off. My wife, I look good naked.
I'll take your word for it. She texts me that every day.
She
please
does.
Tell her to stop. I don't need the pictures
either.
She
doesn't take any pictures, right? Okay.
So when you say beats you up, what do you mean? Like just makes you lift weights hard, or is there like sparring involved?
He's really good knowing that I have replacement joints. So we've started 15 years ago when I started. I was a tub of crap. I was, you know, I almost said the bad word, and I weighed 270. Now I weigh 240.
Okay.
You know, and I got myself back into physical shape, which I used to be in. I was in great shape in college, you know, until I got my first knee injury when I was 38 playing basketball. Mm. And, then I had, you know, everything replaced, and if you don't use it, you lose it. And that was
true.
Was happening to me. Atrophy was happening. And my wife bought me 10 membership or 10 free memberships to Dan Tedman, Above Average Fitness. And he trains the who's who of Green Bay. He really is good. And we've become fast friends. Now he's my workout partner.
No kidding.
Yeah, I still pay him, but he's still my workout
not
partner.
What do you think? Conrad's been lifting weights too.
Conrad, way to go.
I go to the Y.
You know, the whole thing is you got to lift to stay young. If
keep
you want your bones,
up.
Keep everything up, because atrophy starts happening after 40 for men, especially, you know, a low testosterone, blah, blah, blah. We can talk about all that stuff. But if you got to lift, you got to lift. Cardio is important, but you need to lift.
Right. Yeah. I like jazzercise is my thing.
Jazzercise.
I'm a total.
Jane Fonda workout. You got that?
I don't even know what jazzercise is. I just think it sounds hilarious.
It's a cool word.
You know what I did when we moved here? Yeah. I called the Y and I said, because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. Can you give me some information? And she said, yes. Well, what kind of information were you looking for? And I said, well, I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. Nothing. On the other end, it's just silence. And I said, I'm kidding, of course. And she goes, uh-huh. Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should
like,
tape that. That would have been a comedy bit. Gold.
Come
gold,
on.
Gold, gold, gold.
And I did take the class, and I did really well. But let's move on. You've got big things happening.
Big things
as
happening.
As usual.
Yeah.
You're very prolific. You have a new show coming out. Please tell us about Don't Squeeze the Charmin.
It's called Don't Squeeze the Charmin. The show is rated PNG. Get it? You know, Procter & Gamble, a huge corporation worldwide, but they're headquartered here, right? Well, they're headquartered in Cincinnati, but they got a big plant here in Green Bay, and they actually make the Charmin paper right here in Green Bay. And back in the 70s, there was an icon of commercial. He was that first guy that was, you know, that was the spokesman, and I call him Schmokesman. Anyway, Mr. Whipple. And Mr. Whipple portrayed a grocery store owner, And I got to meet Mr. Whipple back in 1978. He was, I kid you not.
At the height of his fame.
At the height of his fame, my Aunt Cindy worked at Procter & Gamble. They had Procter & Gamble family days, and they brought me. And I got to shake Mr. Whipple's hand.
Yep.
So,
oh, wow.
There's my tie
cool.
to greatness right
yeah.
there.
You so. Were still, you weren't even an up-and-comer
oh,
yet.
Oh, God. What was I then?
And he, well, you
he
were
was 12.
You were like old. A showbiz sperm. So
I
you
was.
Hadn't even been conceived at that point, showbiz wise.
No, haven't been. Didn't. Wasn't crawling anywhere yet.
So what did he? What did he do? Did he? Is well, he's not still around. Is
no,
he?
I believe he passed away. And I should know. I was going to look up the Wikipedia page before I got here, but I didn't. But he was a mainstay in the 70s, and then they also bring in major stars to do the commercials. Kind of cool. They got a commercial with him. And God, who was it? It's what a famous was it? Will Arnett or I can't not Will Arnett, James Arness.
Right.
So they bring in some of the big Hollywood stars. They were spending big money on this marketing. Now it's the Blue Bears, of course, for Charmin.
Oh,
so we bring
God.
That element into the show also.
Oh, funny.
But this show is based in the 70s. All the music is from the 1970s. And Mr. Whipple works at. Remember Sherway? Do you remember Sherway?
It was
a Green Bay store food chain. There were 17 stores in Green Bay in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Then they were bought out, okay? But they were a prolific big store, grocery store in Green Bay. So it takes place at the Sherway on Main Street, and Mr. Whipple awesome. Is being auditioned to be the spokesman for Procter & Gamble. And we're all workers. I play Frank Shishlevich, and I'm a big boy. And I just think that Mr. Whipple, I don't call him Whipple, I call him Whipple, he's not a good guy. And I should be the spokesman because of my speech impediment.
All right, we're going to find out who plays Mr. Whipple okay. in Frank's new show. Maybe you can guess, maybe not, though. We'll drop a bomb after the news. Frank Hermans is here for a few more minutes, folks, hanging out on a Tuesday night here at Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
The cause is right. I need to find an answer on the road. I used to be.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am the horribly underpaid comedian from the 90s where Frank
you know,
just
talking
admitted
about,
to me.
I did. So back in the 80s, when you came and did a Doc's Comedy Club, I would pay the headliner $500 and you did 4 to 5 shows. It was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You don't even remember this.
It was 4 nights?
It was 4 nights.
Oh, you were
$500.
Oh my
hey,
God.
You guys loved it. And then I'd put you up at this Fleabag crap hole motel called the Imperial Inn. I think it's still there on Monroe. It was, and I paid
swanky.
$26 a night for that fine establishment where you guys stayed. Hey, you got to drink for free.
You know what? It's funny because first of all, that was during the comedy boom. I was headlining way before I ever should have. So a 25-year-old guy making $500 a night.
Boom.
Or $500 even for the week.
Yeah.
That's all I needed back then.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, you hang out after, you drink for free. And,
every comedian that came there, most of them hung out.
Yeah.
You know, there were some shenanigans going on.
It was
you know?
Always fun to come to Green Bay because, like, first of all, Chicago, Wisconsin, the comedy scene was all, it wasn't the same, but there was so much, you just had friends everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it was like coming, this is almost like the suburbs.
Well,
in
we
a
had
weird
everybody
way,
coming
you know?
Down from Marinette to see you. It was awesome. You did well.
That's right.
You made me money, buddy.
Did I really?
Yeah, you made me, because it was $5 I had to get in back then in the early 90s. So I had to, you know, I had to get, you know, if I had 50 bucks, 50 folks coming in, you know, I made, $250. So I'm covering my door.
Yeah, wow.
Covering the door. That's all it was. And drinks, I had so many cool drink specials. But we didn't do the 2-drink minimum thing. We didn't do that.
Because it's Green Bay. You're going to get this. People are going to drink that anyway. If you don't tell them what they have to drink, they'll keep ordering.
And back then it was $1.25 for a bottle of beer, and an old fashioned was $1.50. You know?
That's something.
So think about it. I mean, I did make a lot of money. We did great. But then we got killed. You know?
A buddy of mine came up to Marinette.
Yeah.
It's like in college. And we went, there's this great bar in Marinette called The Oak.
Yeah.
And it's to this day one of my favorite bars ever. This long, winding oak bar.
Sure.
And a buddy of mine came up from Chicago and he ordered a whiskey sour. And the guy goes, that'll be $1.10. And Frank, I wish I had a camera. My friend's face was just like, and he thought that was just like for the swizzle stick or something.
Yeah,
you know, like a buck ten.
A buck ten.
It was beautiful.
Those were the days, man.
But yeah. No, those were fun days, Doc's Comedy Club. Yep. And I have very fond memories of you and your brother. And your dad was around quite a bit, too.
The old man was there. He liked to be the king. He liked to say that he owned
sat
the
at
place.
The bar.
Yeah, it's the place. But it was Mike and I. We owned it. And then my dad, he just liked to say he owned it because his name was Frank.
Did you guys do okay as brothers?
Like, we did great. We're best friends to this day.
That's great.
We've had other business ventures over the years. In fact, we own the Let Me Be Frank building. Mike and I have a company that we own that property together. So we dabble a little bit with stuff. We had a fireworks stand back in the day. Made a ton of money. We've
really
pissed away so much money. I think about, we should be millionaires. You know, he is.
No, you guys should bring me into some of these. I'm basically like a
they're
third
called pitfalls.
Call me into some of these train wrecks. Let me get involved.
All right.
That's a great segue. Yeah. So let's talk about Please Don't Squeeze the Charmin, or Don't Squeeze the Charmin. Who plays Mr. Whipple?
Mr. Whipple is played by Paul Evenson. And let me tell you, have you seen the Woodman commercials? Okay, Caramba. That guy, he's like, he's a little bit of Phil Woodman and Mr. Whipple, because he's got that voice where, don't squeeze the Charmin, you know? And he's very uptight. And Pat Hibbard plays the butcher, Pat Porterhouse.
That's
and
great.
I play the bag boy, Frankie Shislevich. And then, of course, my wife plays one of the checkout girls, Carmen. And I, Charlotte. Sorry, because I want to squeeze the Charmin. Charlotte.
Nice.
Get it?
I got
it. And she stuffs with one ply, but she's going to go to the two ply Charmin so she can look like the other Lisa, who is quite, you know, well endowed in that area for being a checkout girl. It's a funny show, Pete.
Dude, look, I just can't believe what you're getting away with, all the stuff
you know. Well, it's innuendo stuff. It's all it is. All my shows are PG. Saturday Night Live is way worse than us, but you know, there's never any swear words, but there are innuendos.
Sure.
And with Charmin, you can go a lot of different ways with this. And one of the things that we have Sarah Galati plays corporate P&G marketing, and she's coming in to look our store over and is very picky and stuff. And and she wants Mr. Whipple, to do these shows because she's looking for a curmudgeoned, tight old man. And Paul takes offense to that. We make fun of that he's a Neil Diamond impersonator, too, because he is in real life. Paul
Are you
Evenson.
Serious?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is there music in the show?
Oh, yeah, it's all 70s. Okay. And some of the, like, we open the show with Love and Touch and Squeeze, and Amy and I.
Nice.
Okay, I do this dream scene that is so awesome. So at the end of the first act, Pat Porteros, we're like the comedic thing of the show, but I'm tired. He goes, well, take a shot of this, you know. So I take a shot of Jack Daniels, and you know, because he drinks at work, and I fall asleep. And then all of a sudden, the smoke comes out of the Bush Light cases. Smoke's coming, and my wife breaks out, I love to love you, baby, because I'm dreaming about her, right? So she does this little bit for me, you know, for a while, where I love to love you, baby. And then at the end, is this real? Is this awake? And then right at the end, she walks, see you later. And then I go into Gotta Give It Up by Marvin Gaye. Remember that song?
Oh, yeah. Great,
too. Give it up. Oh, great music.
Dude.
It's disco. It's R&B. It's some of the cool rock songs. Yeah,
so
it's epic.
Why didn't Mr. Whipple want people to squeeze the Charmin?
Definitive thing, but one of the things that I say in the show, and that corporate says, because you're going to break the packaging. So that's one of the things.
Oh.
She says, it's so squishable that when people squish it, they'll break the packaging. So that we take that myth away right away.
Okay.
Why? But his whole thing, I think, is that it's a little bit, I don't know if he's a little bit, how do you say this? It's a little sexual to him, I think. Squeezing the Charmin.
It's perverted.
You know? I think so. That's what I'm getting from Whipple when I watch the commercials. You know, the way he says it and how he does it, he doesn't mean to.
Yeah.
But maybe in my demented mind, I'm thinking.
You're going there.
He's thinking that's the pillows he's squeezing.
He's going to get it on.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing. Like, have you thought about doing like a giveaway of toilet paper? You could have a lot of fun with, you know.
Speaking of giveaways, I called Procter & Gamble to get some free toilet paper. They did not call me back. So
I
went out to Woodman's and I bought, man, toilet paper is expensive.
Ridiculous.
I didn't realize it.
I know.
We use the bamboo stuff at home. My wife gets online because we're
What's
like that.
That.
It's not made of paper. It's not made. We're not cutting down trees. It's made out of bamboo. Yeah.
And it's for those purposes?
Yeah. It's for wiping. Yeah. We use the bamboo. It's online.
So it's wood.
It's made from bamboo.
But you get it in rolls?
The old bamboo, the old bamboo. Yeah, you get it in rolls. It's bamboo toilet paper. And we've been doing that for the past few years. So, but anyway, remember during COVID, I mean, there's toilet paper shortage.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was $2 a package. So I go to buy the 6-pack rolls so I can stack them up. And $7.99. So I bought like 14 packages. It was $150 of toilet paper.
You're stocking up.
I'm stocking up.
I used to go for the like, here's my issue with toilet paper. It's like, what we do with it is horrible.
Yeah.
Don't overspend, for God's sakes.
One
ply is fine, but then you pull the one ply and it's like comes apart in like strips.
Yeah, quick trip. I hate it.
You gotta roll it. It's terrible. So tell us more about first of all, what is a rating of P&G? Does that mean
P&G means Procter & Gamble.
Right.
This show is rated P&G because we bring up all of the different Procter & Gamble products in this, because they have hundreds of brand names, and we bring up the Swiffer, we bring up, we bring up Downy, we bring up Vicks Vapor Rub. So all these little things about, if you did work at Procter & Gamble or you're familiar with the company, all of those products are brought up, and we make fun of them, like the Quicker Picker Upper.
Oh, yeah,
Bounty,
sure.
Okay? Because we make fun of the toilet paper. Hey, well, let's call it the one-bite butt wiper. We're coming up with one-liners,
That must have been tough.
Yeah.
But where did you get the concept to,
I think it's because, Pete, and sorry, I mean to interrupt you there. I did a show 3 years ago about Fort Howard. And Fort Howard, of course, built in 1919, created a lot of wealthy people in the area from their profit sharing, because they were profit sharing, and they made paper products. All and you can go to any restaurant down south, you still can see a Fort Howard, paper dispenser.
Yeah.
They're still everywhere. So I wrote a show about that, and then somebody came to the show. You should write a show about Procter & Gamble. Everybody works there. James River. Well, James River became Fort Howard, Fort James, or whatever. But I started thinking about it, and. Yeah, that's a funny concept. Then Mr. Whipple, iconic. Absolutely. 70s. And
he was in other stuff too, wasn't he?
Was he?
He's in TV shows.
He was a TV actor. Kind of like, what's her name from the Geico commercials? Not the Geico.
Flo.
Yeah. Flo's in a comedy troupe. What are they called? The Fledglings?
Yes. Or Groundlings?
The Groundlings.
She's a Groundling, yeah.
They're the Groundlings. And she uses all the people in the Groundlings. And she's $1 million a year girl.
Oh, it's the Can You Hear Me Now guys. Same deal.
Yeah, I know.
They're like trained actors.
Do you know who auditioned for Can You Hear Me Now? I just saw it on, and they gave it to the other guy, and now I can't hear it. You know what I'm not? It's on the tip. Jason Bateman. Jason Bateman, this is when he wasn't on The Rise.
Yeah,
when he was in his, he had some down years. And he auditioned, Can You Hear Me Now? Can You Hear Me Now? And they gave it to that other guy. Isn't that crazy?
You know what, though? It's interesting. Like, if Jason Bateman had become that guy.
Yeah, he wouldn't have had all those
success.
He
might not have. Yeah, because he's like a great everyman.
Oh, he is the greatest.
My guest is Frank Hermans. Mm-hmm. He is a local legend here in Green Bay. He's created a showbiz dynasty here. And how can people get tickets, Frank, for Don't Squeeze the Charmin at the Meyer Theater on September 27th?
Yeah, September 27th through October 10th. And we play a couple different places this show. We have a total of 15 shows. But at the Meyer Theater, you can go to MeyerTheater.org or TicketStarOnline.com. Get tickets. You can actually get tickets at the door to my show because the theater sits 1,100 people.
So big, yeah.
So you can get, we sell out sometimes on Christmas, but there's always great seats available. And then we're going to be at the Southern Door Auditorium. I had the date pulled up here. I was so ready for you. On September 28th, we're going to do a 3 o'clock show there at the auditorium because there's a Packer game at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And then we're also going to be in Manitowoc at the Capitol Civic Center, October 8th.
Very nice.
That's kind of our second home. We always do a show there. So there's lots of shows to pick up. We have some matinees on that October 9th and October 11th. Oh, we have a show October 11th. I said the 10th we go through. But we have matinees at 1 p.m. So, if you can't come to a night show, you can come to an afternoon show.
Are you going to do anything in Marinette this year, Frank?
Yes, we are. We are in Marinette. I'm going to tell you right now. We are there January 31st.
Oh, fantastic.
At UW campus there. The Walter Theater. What do they call the theater now?
Theater on the Bay.
Theater on the Bay. Yeah. We're going to be there. It sits about 400 people. We're doing our Vegas tribute show again there. So, some new twists this year.
January 31st, did you say?
Yep, next year.
I love it. I'm coming this year.
Will you?
The fundraiser
you're
I do.
You're not going to pick? You're not going to blow me off?
No, it's always the first week in February. Oh, February. Okay. So I should be good.
Should be able to make it?
Okay. And then Steady Eddie says, a regular texter of ours, Frank, from the 608, says, I looked it up. Mr. Whipple was played by actor Dick Wilson. He died in November 2007 at 91, earlier in his life. Dick Wilson. Mr. Whipple played middle linebacker for the Detroit Lions.
Wow.
Oh, wait a minute. He says, okay, I made up that.
I thought he made it up. Got you to say it, Pete.
It's a great but Dick Wilson is a great football name. Steady Eddie. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Yeah. First of all, kind of not fair. Like, why wouldn't I believe that?
Yeah,
like,
I would. If somebody told you something, I would believe it. You know?
I mean, Dick Butkus and Ray Nitschke, all those guys were like, you know,
TV stars. And, they weren't good, but they were actors.
Hey, what? Speaking of your Christmas show, what, you have that all written?
I'm writing it right now. It's a Dr. Seuss kind of musical. It's the Who's versus the What's.
Nice.
And instead of the Grinch, we have the Grunch. And it's kind of funny. I'm reading Dr. Seuss books right now, and a lot of lines are in the books that are going to be on the show. So it's a lot of tongue twisting. It's going to be pretty cool for us to do the show too.
Awesome, Frank. Yeah. Thank you for squeezing us in. Always great
to having a
squeezing us in.
I love it.
This has been rated PNG. It's great to have you, buddy.
Thanks. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Thanks for taking a window picture.
I can't wait to see it.
That
published.
Will be posted on social media very soon.
Yeah, people can see what I really look like.
Frank Hermans, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming right back. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. Frank Hermans is kind of like, he's kind of like a tornado. The guy just like comes in. I don't know if I've ever met anyone with more charisma than
it's
Frank
awesome.
Hermans. And even when you call him Frank Anderson, he doesn't care. He just goes with it.
Yeah.
He looks huge though.
Yeah.
He's like 84 years old and he looks like a monster. He looks very built.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. You think you could take him?
I don't know about that.
Yeah. I'm not trying to start anything. I'm just saying. I don't want to do that. Hey, it's my son's birthday today. I'd like to extend a happy birthday to Joe Schwaba. It's one of the happiest days of my life. Back in 2000, he was born. He's 25. You're 26. Did you just turn 26?
In June, yeah.
Okay. So happy birthday, Joe. It's great. He was in Marinette today, and it was fun to see him and hang out a little bit. And he was kind of lamenting his birthday, like 25. I can't say I'm in my early 20s anymore. Were you like that, or are you kind of like... Don't care.
I'd say like anything after 21 is kind of like,
really?
Oh, it's just a birthday now.
It's all downhill.
Not downhill, I'd say.
Oh, it's downhill.
Maybe when I reach 30, I'll feel that, but I'm still in my 20s, so I'm still happy about it.
Yeah, I think 40 is when you start to feel physically, unless you, like Frank Hermans just said, if you don't use it, you lose it. And
yeah,
I was still playing Frisbee Ultimate into my, you know, I'm in my 50s, and I've been playing... But I haven't played in a couple of years, and I feel like I'd really hurt myself if I tried.
You're in your 50s?
I am, barely.
I thought it was...
Older?
Yeah.
I look great. I'm almost Frank Herman's age.
When my brother turned 30, I sent him a text instantly and said, happy birthday, Grandpa.
See, you're not like the most mature guy in the world. I don't know. Do you get that rap? People think you're mature, Conrad. Hey, our question of the night is, what do you think about when people put flags on their cars? Political, sports, music, whatever, community theater, I don't care. How do you feel about people who use flags to accessorize their sweet rides? Let us know. I am against it. Conrad is against it. Frank Hermans was against it, specifically the Confederate flag Frank did not like on people's cars, especially way up here in the north. Conrad's mom, Paula Krieger, says the only flags or stickers that I don't like are political. Does your mom have Packer flags or like Brewer flags? Did I offend your mother?
No, they don't have any flags on their cars.
But
maybe
their
maybe in their lawn.
I've got friends that have like Badger flags. My buddy Mike Corwin has.
And maybe on their golf cart.
Well,
they're getting one.
Here's the thing. Sports is a part of me. It does not define my fandom. Does not define me. So I wouldn't put a flag out that says this is who I am. And I kind of feel like, and even the phrase proud sports fan, when people say, I'm a proud sports fan, I don't know that that's anything you should be proud of. You could be a happy sports fan. I like my team, but you're really not doing anything.
You know what you are? I mean, if you're a Packer fan, you're a part of the team.
You use phrases like we won last week.
Well, we're all shareholders, you know.
That's true. In your case, that is true. Nick Marshall, he's in the 608, says, car flags are great. Recently, I heard on Civic Media that white people are putting Mexican flags in their vehicles and ICE agents pull them over and then discover they got conned. And they're like, well, sorry, we can't arrest you folks because you're white. Nick, is that true? That's a great gag. I mean, technically, they could arrest you for anything they want. There's really no guidelines there. I would be careful with that. My buddy Danny Thine from Marinette used to do that. He used to just torment police officers, whether it was at a high school dance. One time he had a bottle of Mountain Dew, and it was like a summer night. We were like we were probably freshmen. And Danny saw the cops coming and made a big joke like he was hiding it, like he had booze. And the cops come over, they shine the light, and they're like, what do you got there, son? And he's acting like he has alcohol. And he says, nothing, officer. He's like, come on, son, what do you got? And he goes, no, I'm not showing you. I don't have anything. And he goes, son, you better show me what you have right now. And he pulls out a bottle of Mountain Dew. And the cop felt about two. I'm like, don't torment people with guns. It was hilarious. I mean, and we all feel stupid. It's like reading that Steady Eddie text. He totally fished me in.
Yeah. You know, I've seen a bunch of YouTube videos of people who prank cops with fake beer, like the NA stuff,
yeah,
and drinking it ice on the road.
Like, while they're driving?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I do drink occasionally the non-alcoholic Blue Moon. I don't think you can drink that while you're driving, because it has a tiny bit of alcohol.
It has a tiny bit, I think. But like, the cops like looked at it and then started laughing. They're like, oh, okay.
I love when cops have a great sense of humor. That's awesome. Nick from the 608 also says, my landlord would really confuse ICE, we're still on ICE, because he also listens to mariachi music and other Latin music. All right, Nick. Nick seems like kind of a prankster, Conrad. Conrad's dad checking in. Steve from Florida says, seeing we lived in the Key West area, Paula and I had to buy a Contra Republic flag that we are in the process of putting on our golf cart. Also, we have a Wisconsin Badger flag and Green Bay Packer flag displayed in the front and back of our house so friends can pinpoint our house down here in Florida. You know, that's not a bad idea. And actually, I'm gonna soften on this a little bit, because if you live somewhere far away from your home, you do, like when I was in LA, I connected with a lot of people from Chicago and Wisconsin. So it is nice when people go, oh, there's a fellow Packer fan or fellow Badger fan. I guess I could see that. John from the 608 says, the flags are gaudy, usually, and scream with exclamation points. But hey, you do you and I'll do me. You feel me? It's all good. Wow, I think John's feeling good tonight. You think John's under some kind of influence?
He might be.
Barb from Waukesha says, I'd rather see team flags on cars over a rusty pickup with American flags. Yeah, we've all got our flag issues. Hey, folks, this is exciting. Speaking of sports flags, Sean Hanisch will be here after intermission. He will kick off Act 2 with us, and we've got big news about Just a Bit Outside. You can see it for free. We're going to tell you where and how and a lot of other cool stuff. Sean Hanisch coming up next on Nightlight. And then at 7:20, Nick Watier from the Green Bay Film Festival will be here. We're going to talk about a big event coming up Saturday night that I'm hosting at the Tarleton Theater. You're not going to miss that either. A lot of show coming up in Act 2. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Elvis, why am I?
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.